down of the items. We have next item for tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table? Second call for petitions, third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Brings us to 5.0, public question comments session. Please state your name and your address and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less. Lima?
You'll be able to stand up especially late, gentlemen. Mr. Mayor, under 3.2.
Your name and address?
Leon Robinson, 45 College Street. District 3. Under 3.2, the presentation there on the flood mitigation has a very good update there. And when you look at through it, it looks like if you're going to go through and carry out all those recommendations and so on, you're looking at quite a few $1 million. I think, Mr. Mayor, you had left your chair there and come back with some suggestions and so on, and I think they were less costly than what they were talking about, and probably maybe would help us keep us going for a period of time before we get to the real need of it. But eventually, something's going to have to happen because the money's going to keep coming up. anyway, so, it's going to cost a fair amount of money. Anyway, that's that. And under 13.3, the winter parking and snow removal, I think that's good there. The information is good. I just have a comment. Once the streets are plowed, and it's the next day or so on, the storm is over, and I'm not talking about Main Street in particular, but the side streets and so on, and I find in a lot of cases, people park on the streets. You got one park on this side, one park on the other, there's snow in between there, and it's difficult managing getting through there because you've got to keep stopping and going, and the other person doesn't stop, and you're into a not a good situation. I don't know what could happen, what you could do there, but.
Well, certainly our bylaw officer would ensure to the best of her ability that we have access to use streets, and if they're blocked, then of course there would be a need to deal with that, be it by parking or otherwise.
Great, thank you. And it was interesting, I was able to watch the flying pass yesterday with the Aurora for your member state. Did you see it?
Would you repeat that, Leo?
The flying pass yesterday was a flying pass.
Yes,
it almost went over our house there when we were on College Street, just down towards the Main Street a little bit. 20 minutes to 11, we got a nice picture of it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. There was quite a crowd in front of the Cenotaph watching that flyover.
Is that right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Liam. Any other member of the gallery?
Owen Hamlin, 44 Murphy Drive, District 3. First thing I'd like to say is that this is probably the third time in a 10-year period that we've done this branding exercise. And I'd like to think that my council and my staff are taking it more seriously than it's been taken in the past. It's something that you should realize and want to make last 20, at least three or four councils, 20 years to 25 years. That's how important it is. The thing that I think was positive about it, presentation that is putting ourselves in the league with Australia, Florida, Portugal, and Denmark. I mean, when I hear that word coast with any other word, I think of those three first. I don't. So that'll be something you should think about seriously. And as far as the differences between waters go, the only thing is there's more salt in my water until I get down upriver past Milton Dam. Other than that, keep that in mind. This is still one district, and I'm in favor of it staying as one district. And if anything comes out of this that's divisive, I don't want to hear about it at all. Thank you very much, Your Worship.
Thank you all. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Well, thank you very much for your comments. We will now move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. Then we have 6.1, regular council minutes, October 22nd, 2019. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is Unanimous, thank you. 6.2, special council minutes, October 31st, 2019. I have some additions and amendments to those minutes as they're circulated. The first is in 3.0 in camera. Deputy Mayor Kelly declared a conflict of interest at 9.05 a.m. Instead of 9.45 a.m., so that would be changed to 9.05. And subsequent to that line, Councilor Muse was then selected to become chair of the meeting, and that would be an addition. So a motion, unless there's other omissions or errors that need to be changed or added, hearing none, a motion to approve the amended minutes as were circulated would be in order, moved by Councilor Crisp, seconded by Councilor Kralik. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We are now on 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, and we have nothing to bring forward under that today. 8.0, economic development, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 9.0, corporate services, we have 9.1, job description, accessibility coordinator. Who would like to take the lead on that? Councilor Kralik.
With joy. I so move that the Council of the Regions and Queens Municipality approve the accessibility coordinator job description attached.
Seconded for that? Councilor Muse. That was circulated to councilors. Are there any questions regarding that document? Councilor McLeod?
This will be advertised in the traditional advertising method.
Absolutely. Councilor Kralik?
I'm not sure if this refers to the first one or the second motion, so I'll come back to it.
Okay. Any other councilor have a question or comment on item 9.1, accessibility coordinator? CAO?
Just to clarify, so the province has put in place the Accessibility Act, which requires all municipalities and provinces to comply with certain regulations within a certain time period. And so our plan was to do this, and our plan still is to do this next budget year to begin the process, but there is a funding program that just came available that has a deadline later this week or early next week. And so in order to apply, we require a some type of interim plan. So this is the job description, there's a term of reference later on the agenda. Those will be submitted as part of the funding application, but there's no, and then this job advertisement won't be advertised actually probably till the new year, till January, with the start date of April 1st of next year, the next budget year. So there's no budget limitations for this year, and it's not meant that we're going to advertise and hire someone right away. This is simply to access the funding, and then once the funding's in place, then we'll do the advertising, and whether it's the recruitment for this position as well as the recruitment for the committee, those will all take place during the winter.
Any further questions of councilors on this? Councilor Fancy?
So this is really saying right now there's no budget implications at this particular time. If we're just going to wait to see if we get, we're saying we want to do this, and we're trying to get the money from the province, and then be able to see where we are at that particular time to go back and revisit it. So we're basically
correct.
Councilor Johnson.
So if we are unsuccessful accessing that funding from the province,
then I'll put 100% funding in the budget on April 1st.
If we decide to go ahead and hire for this. Because that changes the water and the beans, right?
Well, it does and it doesn't, because we're legislated to put in place a plan and all kinds of other stipulations, and we don't have the staff to do that, so we have to hire somebody to do it. There's a lot of work involved with this. It's not something we can just add to somebody's current job description. This is going to be a full-time job.
So we're approving the job description. We have no say whether we have to have somebody new to do the job.
You certainly do, because you have to approve the money in the budget.
Yeah.
And so if you don't approve money in the budget,
then we have to do it with the existing staff.
Then we got to do it with the existing staff.
Okay. And that's what I want to clarify.
Any other council the question? Okay, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Moving on to 9.2, job description, chief administrative officer. You have that report and the recommendation. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Muniz.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the chief administrative officer revised job description attached.
Seconder, Councilor Fairley. Are there any questions or comments on that as previously circulated? Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, probably just, maybe it's I don't understand, so I have to ask a question. just a few things. On number 10, responsibility for the appointment, suspension, or dismissal of directors, as well as providing assistance and direction to directors in the hiring suspension. I'll go all through that, but you know, it's already there in front of us. That would mean that the CAO would be the direct, also too, firing, right? I mean, because they are the...
Of directors, positions below directors may be the responsibility of the director, and I would defer to the CAO to clarify that.
That's correct.
Okay, because I always think of things that go on if people are especially released, go back to the council, do we talk about just it's being, I guess it's the idea of, it doesn't matter, we make a choice in it, but we have that everybody has to be accountable, so to speak.
CAO, would you like to respond?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay. Say if I was on your staff, you wanted to let me go for some reason, that you would have to come back to council and talk to council and be able to justify what. So it kind of goes here that it could be just let go without any talking back and forth, so to speak. Yeah. I'm understanding. It's just all say all about accountability.
That's correct. What your comments are correct.
Right.
So the accountability is you hire a CAO which is thoughtful enough to understand the role of what their role is.
Right.
And the times when it's appropriate to have discussions with council prior to taking any action.
Right.
Or when there's times when it's appropriate to take the action and update council afterwards. And so that it can go either way depending on the nature of the situation, but you have to have enough confidence in your CAO. If you don't, then you've got a bigger problem than just the job description where that provision's in there. The reason it's there is simply to provide that division between staff accountability and council accountability. It's very difficult for council to get involved with the day-to-day operations, understand if there's a discipline issue, to get involved with understanding all those issues, and council many times don't want to know about all those details.
That's right.
But in order for council to make a decision, council's going to have to know very intimate details of a particular staffing issue.
But I still think of the accountability because then it becomes one person, and you know, again, we have to have some trust in our in our CAO. But and the other thing I wanted to look at is number 14 is establishing, maintaining a positive working relationship with members on a daily basis and council, public committees, and on a regular basis. Does that mean that you have to speak to the mayor every day to update him on everything that's going on? And does that mean that the mayor has to be here? Because, in a way, does the council offer him? I'm just saying is a question.
And there's obviously no responsibility to,
right.
To have a discussion with the mayor every day or take advice from the mayor,
right.
Advice to the mayor every day or members of council.
Yeah.
It's simply a provision that that the CAO is accountable to somebody.
That's right.
On a day-to-day basis, the CAO is accountable to the mayor.
Okay.
So if there's an issue, the mayor is the person the CAO talks to.
Right.
Or if there's information needs to be shared, the mayor is the person the CAO talks to. And it could happen every day. And it could happen 7 days a week, or it could happen 2 days a week, depending on the nature of the discussion and what the issues are.
Because it says daily, so I...
But it's daily, because that's the supervisor. And it would be no different than all the department heads would say that they report, the proper supervision there, they report to me on a daily basis,
yeah.
But they don't actually talk to me on a daily basis. There is a provision that is required.
Yeah. And my one last thing would be just on the qualifications. Are we are we putting ourselves into a spot where, let's say, for instance, our CEO left, that we would have a hard job finding somebody because they wouldn't meet the qualifications? I ask those type of things. Or is that something that has to be there as a, but no.
CAO, would you like to comment on the applicability of this job description character-wise to other municipalities?
Every municipality is a little different, but if you, and like any job description, you set a certain set of standards for a particular position, and if you find people that meet that standard, great, but if you don't, then obviously the decision-making body has to lessen those standards. But to start out with a less standard is going to get you 100 applications, whereas the right standard is going to get you 20 applications. And the ability to attract a CAO is not going to be related to that paragraph at all.
No.
It's going to be related to a number of other issues, and none of them are going to entail that paragraph.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that somebody might meet 90% of it and all of a sudden say, oh, hey, I don't qualify, and it might have been a good person. And I guess you could still take their application.
But if a person is in a position where they want to be a CAO, they've been around long enough to understand the issues, that they don't necessarily have to meet every criteria, but they're willing to work towards those and have the character to be able to do that.
Okay.
Councilor Fisk?
Just a quick question, I'll direct it to the CAO. There's a change, like, in the hiring and dismissal of department heads. What would happen if you let a staff or a department head go that had 20 years, 25 years in, and it was went into a severance package type thing? How would that be handled? How would that happen? Say we're talking $50,000-$60,000 in grabbing. Where would that come from? How would you handle that?
So the CAO doesn't have any authorization to spend any money outside what's his budget.
So he or she would have to bring that to council.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Councilor McLeod?
I have a question. There's several questions. Who authored the report? Who authored the job description? Was that done with a combination of staff, or was it done with a CAO, or was it done between the mayor and the CAO?
Done by myself.
Okay. Is that a usual circumstance that one writes their own job description?
It is if it's coming before council for approval. Because if it doesn't suit council, it will not get approved.
Okay. Under the general accountability, it looks like a lot of description of what a clerk would do. So is this a combination of CAO and clerk's responsibility? Which I understand, Chris, you have the clerk's responsibilities as well.
The general accountability is a summary of all the specific duties and general duties responsibilities. So what is in there is identical to what's in there. So it's not a clerk responsibility, it's a CAO's responsibility.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is but some of the tasks and the duties are basically a lot of the clerk's responsibility. We do not have a clerk on staff, right?
So without a clerk, then I act as clerk, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's anything in there that would be a clerk responsibility.
Oh. So we have a deputy clerk in Shelley.
Okay.
So, but you, anything that a clerk would be doing, you're doing that.
Correct.
Okay. I feel that under the old job description, under the general accountability, it's very basic, very to the point, and it says the chief administrative officer is the head of the administrative branch and is responsible to the council for the proper administration of the affairs of the municipality. So, but that doesn't say that in your description of the new accountability. The mayor is one vote. We are all council, and I feel that CAO is responsible and accountable to council in all aspects.
Correct, which is the second paragraph, the little paragraph.
Okay. It says it's accountable to the mayor first and then to council in other aspects.
Correct.
but in the original one, it was all council. The mayor is council. He's a spokesperson for council. Not that we want to get involved in the day-to-day operations of the municipality, but and you're capable of handling a lot of those duties anyway. And you have that authority. So if there's anything on a day-to-day administration and oversight, in the past, the mayor is here every day, which is an unusual circumstance. Years ago, mayors were here, not on a daily basis. So you're more accessible to the mayor on a daily basis. But it always worked well in the past, so I don't know why you have to have that one-on-one on a daily basis, because you're able to handle a lot of that yourself.
I'm not sure what you're asking. But okay. I don't have a daily one-on-one.
You don't have a daily one-on-one. Okay. My concern is, as long as council are included in the majority of any of the operations, it says under municipal operations, but that, and when I read that, it says, okay, just bear with me for a second, try to get this together in my mind. Chief Administrative Officer is accountable to the mayor for the day-to-day administration and oversight of all municipal operations, okay? And to council for the annual capital and operating budget, policies and bylaw implementation, and short and long-term strategies and plans. So when I read that, you're saying that the mayor is accountable for the overall municipal operations and council is not.
No, I'm saying the mayor is for the day-to-day administration oversight of municipal operations, day-to-day. And that council is responsible, or I'm accountable to council for the capital operating budget, policies and bylaws, and the short and long-term strategies and plans.
Okay, so I don't know the definition of municipal operations.
So,
is that like your administration here?
So if somebody calls in with if there's an issue in your district,
okay,
and you got a complaint about it, typically,
yeah,
you would call the mayor and say there's an issue in my district, and the mayor would talk to me about the issue,
yeah,
and we would decide what we do with it.
Is that the protocol?
That would be my expected protocol, yes.
Okay.
Sometimes counselors go directly to me, but mm-hmm, typically you go to the mayor.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that. Am I not clear on that, or? Can I ask the other counselors' opinion? Is there any concerns for this, or?
Councilor Johnson?
I can weigh in on this, because this gives me just a couple of things. Every time, and I know we're going through a process of rewriting job descriptions, I'm just not sure why this one floated to the surface now at this point in time. That's one question I have. And when we have the revised ones, it would be really nice that anything that changes from what was back in 2003 to today would be highlighted, underlined, or something to make it a little bit easier to look at what the two different things are. The thing that gives me the most discomfort with this is it appears from this that council is being further removed away from any kind of decision-making process. And I guess what I'd have to do is look at the mayor's job description to understand how he would liaise with council to keep us in the loop. And I also wonder how we deal with, like, performance appraisals, goal setting. Where does that conversation come in? Because I still have a confidential package here in my information about a job appraisal, 6 months, I think, in your probationary period, that we all gave feedback, or all gave our opinions, and never ever got any feedback back. You know, I'm still sitting there, I'm still waiting on that almost a year later. So to me, it appears we're being even more distant away from things that have an impact. And in all, rightly so, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, it's the protocol as to who you go to. But if there is a staff issue, where do they go? You know, if it's a non-unionized staff, where do they go to vet their opinion? Because they're talking to their boss, and in a lot of cases, you may get information as a counselor I just feel we're being pushed further away from information, and I'm not comfortable with that part, and I'm really not sure why all of a sudden this floated to the surface now. So I don't know if there's any questions in there or more statements, but I'm confused about protocol, and I'm confused about what this means going forward to the council. If we're only here as a rubber stamp, then so be it, I guess. I don't know. That's not what I signed up for, but it's the way I feel.
And fair comments. I don't have the MGA in front of me, but my memory of the MGA is that the mayor will convey decisions of council directly to the CAO for enactment. And that may need clarifications during the week, and certainly I would do that on behalf of council. It doesn't say in the MGA that 8 of us on council would go to the CAO with directives on a regular basis. It says that council business comes through the mayor to the CAO. Now, do I have concerns with councilors having meetings with the CAO and putting forth perspective? No, I don't, because I trust our CAO that he will listen to the comments that are received and he will make a wise decision on that information. But I'm not seeing anything in this job description that seems out of the ordinary, outside of the MGA or anything that would be a concern as to how the CAO would operate going forward under this job description.
No, the job description is one thing, and yes, us to you, to the CAO, that to me, I'm comfortable because I can follow up with a paper trail or whatever. The part that I'm not comfortable with is the other way around. How are we going to be up to date on these two things that are going on, and it happens every day. I go back to my comment about being on the bus or under the bus. It all comes down to communication, and that two-way communication is a big piece of it. I very much trust council through this way. I'm very unclear about coming back to council and us being in the loop. That's my
and a valid concern, Councillor Johnson. I do understand that. I can tell you that both the CAO and I do send emails and memos to councillors to update everyone. And I would suggest to you that you probably during this administration have had much more information than councillors had in past administrations from the mayor and CAO.
I can't speak to that because I wasn't part of previous administrations.
But in any case, that's the job that we have, and that's the goal that we're trying to accomplish, is to share that information with councillors, because you need that information. Yes, Councillor McLeod?
If there was something that I would like to add to this, would be that that the CAO on a weekly basis give us an update on specific, I know we get it in implementation in our council once a month, but our previous CAO every Friday gave us an update by email, and it was great to have that input. That kept us all in the loop on what was happening, and if there was nothing to report, then he would just send us a little note. You know, it's been a good week, nothing to report, things are going on as planned, but that was really helpful to us as councillors to know. We're not cut out on, you know, not out on the street hearing something, or staff are not aware. I mean, I think that would be a good move, and I would like to see something of that nature added to the job description.
And you may, in a weekly reporting, be 6 days out of the loop, but you would get it at the end of that week, that's for sure. CAO, is that something that you can do going forward?
Well, it's the same thing we talked about before, about having directors come to every meeting and give an update on projects and priorities, all things going on. It's very time consuming. If council wishes to do that, I'm fine with it. It just means other projects or other initiatives don't go forward, because it does take quite a bit of time to prepare reports. And so if that's the direction of council, they want a weekly report, then we can provide a weekly report. It just means other issues or other initiatives won't come forward.
Councilor McLeod, do you have a follow-up?
Well, I was just going to say, you seem to have a lot on your plate, Chris, that you're doing. Like, you're just putting in more time, and we're appreciated. It is appreciated, but, you know, if there's such that maybe some of those other things could be delegated, but I really feel strongly that we should have that small report, just an update on certain things that are a priority on a weekly basis.
So that may be so short as one line on an issue still ongoing.
I guess every 2 weeks you have a council meeting, and things that are important are on the council agenda. I'm not sure what else I'm going to be able to tell you that is going to be 3 or 4 more days. You're going to find out about 3 or 4 more days early, because that's all it's going to be. Because if it's on the agenda for 2 weeks' time, you get your agenda in a week and a half time. So rather than playing in a week's time, you're going to find out in 10 days' time.
But those reports that we get are motions that we make in council, are they not? Or not just discussions, that something might be within the, it's a confidential type of report that you would be giving us. It wouldn't be public.
But anything I tell you, anything that's confidential is going to be on the council agenda in camera. So if I give you a report, I'm going to tell you I'm working on a job description for the CAO, I'm working on a job description for the accessibility.
I don't mean those, I mean things that are affecting the whole region as a whole. I don't mean a daily update on what you're doing. Maybe I could send you an example of what we used to get before, just to give an idea, because it's hard for me to explain. And I'd like some help here from you. You've been involved, and Councilor Frolic has been involved in the past, and we often said to ourselves, it's great to have these reports. Very, very useful for us. Am I not? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. At the time.
Pardon me?
At the time, yes.
Councilor Fancy?
I guess we're skirting around everything. It's communications is more of a concern, and how we because it I guess it's all interpretation of how somebody says, well, you don't need to know this or right there, but I always want to know what's going on in my department when I have of my department, but in my area, and when I find things on the street, I don't like it. Because I like to know what's all going on, and even know what's going on Gill's place. I want to know what's been going on. It's the more communication, I think we have a somewhat of an issue there. And I don't know if we're bringing this all out under this one subject matter. Maybe this is time to table this to a different time. I don't know.
Well, it certainly isn't very likely to become a line in the job description. Because it's really, it's a bit away from the responsibilities and duties, but it is an important issue to councilors. I do understand that, but I think we have to bring the conversation back to the job description, and we need to deal with what it actually contains. And are you as councilors happy with this, or is there an amendment to it? Is there an adjustment? Councilor Johnson?
Just to clarify my point a little bit, it's that the job description as written is one thing, but the interpretation and how it is implemented is a totally different thing. And we sit here, and the only thing we have on record is what we say in the moment, and then all of a sudden something happens 6 months down the road and everybody forgets about it. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, some of the different wording and what does it mean, you know, we got CAO's interpretation of that here today. If there was a situation 6 months down the road, would I be comfortable with if that interpretation changed? I don't know, because it's happened in the past that the way things were presented and what it actually meant as an impact down the road aren't the same thing. So I don't know how you bring clarity to, you know, the oversight of, you know, daily administration and the oversight of municipal operations. What does that actually mean? Now, boy, that's a broad scope. And how much of that is council? We're responsible for it when it gets out to these folks at the end of the day. And just being, informed as to what that means, I question. I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm not sure how to make it right. And I really am uncomfortable with somebody writing their own job description.
I would suggest to you, Councillor Johnson, that our CAO is the best one qualified to write that job description. It's up to council to decide if they like it. That's our job. I have Councillor McLeod.
I just don't want in the future to be said at some point, this was presented to you, it was passed, you should have had time to look at it further, to look at any policies or anything that we set. sometimes we just rubber stamp. From my own personal, I'm not going to just rubber stamp things anymore. I want to find out more about it. So in the future, if something happens and I approve something, and then all of a sudden there was something that was not included in that approval, or some circumstance came up that if this was approved, then I should have been more, used my due diligence and looked at these things in more depth than just rubber stamping policies and procedures and job descriptions. So I just, that's my point.
And I understand.
It's protection.
I think the discussion today is far more than rubber stamping.
I know that, and this is what I want. This is what we should be doing more of, is what I'm saying.
So I have Councilor Fisk next.
Just one point, and I'll direct this to the CAO again. I have no problem with the CAO doing his own job description at all, but I do have a problem with number 10. If there's any way possible he could take a look at that paragraph again and check it out and see if there's another way of wording that. I don't like that way of wording. That's all.
Well, the only other option is to change the recommend to the council. The appointment is suspended.
Well, that'd be fine with me. That's all I.
That's what the council wants to be in the day to day staffing. That's fine.
And in the day to day staffing.
My memory tells me that there is a clause in a policy of the region whereby the CAO deals with the hiring and firing of staff below directors, but directors are communicated to council before anyone as a director would be terminated. Am I correct, CAO? Can you recall that policy?
Don't remember.
It's here.
Who wants to speak next, Councilor Cradle?
You're just answering the question.
Yeah, and I don't have that in my memory exactly what policy, but when we went through the interim CAO position prior to hiring Chris McNeil, we had those issues and we paid particular attention to those issues and those documents, but that's almost 2 years ago now, so I can't recall that. But there has been the courtesy of coming to council on director positions. Yeah, Councilor Crowley?
The reason we hire a CAO is to do that particular duty. And as you said, it's a courtesy to come to council when he feels it needs to come to council. Is that not correct? And is
unless
that
it's required.
Is that not what he has in number 10? I'm not understanding why we're nitpicking something that's been in, has not changed. It's a courtesy to come to council if required. We don't get involved in daily anything to do with stuff.
And normally that would not occur, but again, I don't have clarity in my memory of what policy that had, but it was the practice in the past that on a director's position, there would be a notification to council prior to that occurring.
Through the CAO?
Yeah, through the CAO.
And is that not what number 10 says?
Well, it's not particularly pinpointing it down in section 10, that it needs to come before council. If there's another.
But it doesn't need to come before council, that's the point. It's a courtesy to come to council.
Yeah. Under this policy, it definitely would.
But there's a wish to change it, it's just a matter of changing responsible for recommending. Recommend the council to add three words in there if there's a wish to do that.
So is there a wish of council to add those three words to that line?
Can you clarify that?
So number 10?
Yes.
It would be responsible for recommending the council add those three words, the appointment, suspension, the assistant director, as well as providing.
I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with that.
Councilors in agreement with that?
Yes.
Who would like to move an amendment to that policy? Moved by Counselor Frehley, seconded by Counselor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It is 6-1, it does pass. And now we have a amended motion for that policy. Any more discussion? Are you ready for the question on the amended motion, which includes those three words?
Question.
All those in favor? All those opposed? Again, we have 6-1, it does pass. Thank you very much.
Finished this last year.
Okay, we'll take a 25 out.
Well, let's do these next two. Let's finish the job description.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, we'll move quickly. We'll go to 9.3. Who would like to take the lead on 9.3? Counselor Frehley?
I so move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the Supervisor Parks, Grounds, and Facilities revised job description.
Seconded to that? Counselor Pansy? You've all had this in your hands previously. Are there any questions on this policy? Counselor Frehley?
The only question I had is, in the past we've talked to various groups about adding edible products to our gardens. So if you look at number 7, and I know we're not there yet, but if we decide to proceed down that road, should we be looking at that rather than make a policy change down the road?
Yeah, I would think that would require a change at that point in time.
Excuse me?
I would suggest that changing some of the plantings to edibles would be a different discussion and would require a change.
I know it's a different discussion, but would it not make it easier just to add the word edibles in there so that when we do approach that subject again in the future, it's already done? And I'd look at the CAO for an answer.
So just trees and then comment edible trees?
Edible plants. Plants, trees, whatever.
What's your thoughts, CAO?
I'm just trying to understand where you're putting edible, not just trees, you're putting edible and other stuff too.
Well, there's a variety of things that could go into gardens throughout the county. Which includes trees and includes plants.
So what if we just added, so supervised participation in planting and maintenance of various annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and other plantings and landscape features as required, including edibles?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Very simple.
So could you include everything with the edibles?
Yep.
Perfect, thank you.
Would you like to come forward to the presentation desk? Jennifer, I know you have a comment.
Just one consideration to take. Is insurance and the liability around that? I think that's something we should look at before we say.
I wasn't suggesting that we are moving forward with it. I'm suggesting when we do talk about it, and your point is well taken, that's a whole conversation down the road. We're not even close.
Because we can't protect.
Down the road. When we're there, absolutely. But
it would be a broader discussion.
Absolutely.
Councilor Johnson?
The old one didn't talk to pay scale that I can see. Is there any difference budget-wise?
Same pay scale as what's existed. Yes.
So we have a discussion before us to add edibles at the end.
Yes.
And it would require a motion to amend the policy. Who would like to move
that?
That
motion.
Moved by Councilor Frehley, seconded by Councilor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. Thank you. So now we have an amended motion. Is there any more discussion on the amended motion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the amended motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Nine point 4, job description groundskeeper revised recommendation. You would like to take the lead on 9.4. Councilor Fisk.
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the groundskeeper's revised job description attached.
Seconded for that? Councilor Officer Fancy. Brad, did you have a comment that you would like to make on this item?
Just one word, but I think it makes a big difference with this work that we're looking. Under qualifications, rather than must, I think we should say ideally.
So we have on the floor a recommended change to the job description. Who would like to move the amendment? Councilor Mews, seconder. Councilor Johnson, any discussion on the amendment? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. We now have an amended job description under the motion. Any further discussion? Councilor Frelick?
I would like to make a motion to change number 3 to match up with the previous motion and add the word edible, just to keep them consistent.
Seconder to that amendment? Councilor McLeod? Any discussion on that amendment?
Do we need to put that in there because it says plants and other plantings? So isn't it really covered?
That's right.
Yeah. It should be consistent with the previous one.
It can be or it cannot be added. It's depending upon the decision of council. So any other council have a comment on this amendment? So we have an amendment recommending edibles be added to the end of number 3. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. So we have an amended job description. Two amendments. Any discussion on this motion? So are you ready for the question on the amended job description motion?
Question.
All those in favor? It is unanimous, thank you. So that is 9.4. And at this point, we will take a half hour recess until 1 p.m. Okay, we're all ready. Good to see. We will resume council meeting. The next item on the agenda, 10.0 Engineering and Public Works, and we have nothing there today. 11.0 Finance. Under 11.1, we have West Queens First Responders request to purchase ambulance. A recommendation. We have Jennifer Keating Hubley at the presentation desk who would like to take the lead on 11.1. Councilor Mews.
I move that the Region of Queens Municipality approve the release of $26,525 to the West Queens First Responders from the Capital Reserve Fund for the purchase of a 2015 Chevrolet Express 3500 gas type 3 ambulance.
Seconder to that, Councilor Johnson. Jennifer, do you have anything to add to this recommendation at this point?
So we have been building that capital reserve for a number of years in the background, and it is actually for this purpose. With the West Queens First Responders, the only vehicle that they are required to maintain is a secondhand ambulance, and they have been using that reserve for repairs on the one they have over the last number of years, but the repairs are accumulating and it's probably in their best interest to just buy a secondhand one and hopefully avoid some of that downtime. The reserve does have the funds, adequate funds to cover it. So.
Thank you. Any questions of councilors on this issue? Councilor McLeod?
Are they exempt from paying HST?
They're not exempt from HST. They fall under the same guise as the fire departments. They're able to use the Municipal Public Service Body's rebate. So they will be able to apply 57.14% back of their provincial tax and all of their GST.
Okay.
So there will be an amount of tax included that they will have to pay.
Okay.
Firefighters have the additional ability to redeem or claim back the remaining taxes, but it's through a separate act of the government, and the first responders wouldn't have access to that rebate.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Councilor Mews?
The old ambulance that they have is just out of its life.
Mm.
They, the RCMP this morning to talk about the accident with the deceased. That they went there to respond to it, and they put their ambulance in park. It was on the hill, and they didn't engage, and they backed up and almost run over two people. So it hasn't been used since then. It's been sitting on the sideline.
Councilor Johnson?
I just asked a question through Councilor Muse. These guys are not associated with EHS here in town. They're a standalone operation, they have?
They're a standalone operation. They're not really allowed to transport anybody in the ambulance unless it's an emergency and the other ambulances can't get there.
Or you can meet them on route or something like that.
That's right.
Any other comments or questions? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Twelve point zero, recreation and community facilities. We have 12.1, MPAL review, and Megan and Norm and Dana are coming forward today.
So we were asked to do an MPAL review, which is the Municipal Physical Activity Leadership Program. So that's what Norm's job falls under. We took it a little bit further and we've kind of put everything rec-related under it, just to kind of give an overview of what has happened this past year, the last couple of years. There was a little bit of time when neither Norm or I was here, so Dana kind of filled in best she could. Kind of what happened during that time since the Municipal Physical Activity Leadership Program was reinstated in the region. So our overview of staffing, myself, the Director of Recreation, and Queen's Place obviously falls under myself as well. Norm is our Physical Activity Coordinator, and Dana is the Administrative Assistant for Recreation and Economic Development. So she splits her time evenly between the two. So the first thing we're going to overview is our aquatics. So this gives an overview of swimming lessons and public swim, which could be public swim, evening swim, lane swim, and aquafit. We will note, you see they kind of go up and down. There was a period, 2016-2017, where registration in swimming lessons was especially high. I can't speak to the exact reasons why that is. It has to do with, you know, the number of kids in the region, parents putting them in, kids going through the program. You know, some kids only go through the program until they know how to swim and then they kind of drop off. So there could be a lot of different reasons for that, because we've obviously been offering it, well, for 53 years.
Yeah.
In terms of swim attendance, the last 3 years you'll see there. The two for public swims, the ones with asterisks, that was when we had what was Thrive, which was a grant which covered swims, so they were free. So that obviously is a reason why they were higher, because there was no cost associated with them. For Aquafit, so we have to have certified staff. It's not something that anyone can just go in and do. We had been asked for it last year, yeah, so 2018. So we did registration. We had a local instructor that instructed it for us, Celeste Johnson, and we had four people who participated in that program throughout the year. This past year, in consultation with Celeste, she didn't feel that it was something that should be offered unless people asked for it again. So there were some issues with, you know, participants feeling comfortable in the location. Ball hockey also happens in the evening. So, you know, not that they didn't want to do it, but there was, you know, other people there. So we kind of left it for this year. No one asked for it. So so we left it at that. And the Milton Dam Busters, they use the pool twice, or 2 hours a day from Monday to Friday for 7 weeks, and they do that at no charge. And that's an agreement from when the municipality took over the pool from the Milton Community Association that continue, and so it has continued. Sure.
Can I ask a question here?
Absolutely.
with this swim attendance over
mm-hmm.
3 years, of course, we know
yep.
what's happened here with the, of course, with the drive not there. What are we seeing is children, adults, is it people just feeling uncomfortable as adults being outdoors? And you know, like you said, you mentioned about the ball hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have like a, what would we have over 25? People over 25, do you get many there or is it mostly all under 25?
For the swim specifically?
Yes.
So it's mostly children or parents coming with their children. And that's who we get for those.
Okay, so you don't get many just adults coming for a swim?
No, and Lane Swim as well, we tried last summer because it had been something that people had requested the summer before. And throughout the summer, we offered it twice a week for 8 weeks, and we only had 12 people, and that was in total,
mm-hmm.
just 12 people.
And those aren't necessarily like 12 separate individuals.
Right.
That could be,
it was
could
the
be
same, yeah.
someone coming every Tuesday and Thursday all summer
so
long.
So you could have three people or four people.
Correct,
or two,
okay.
or none.
Yep. Councilor Friel?
Just one quick question. How much for a public swim?
$2. For an hour.
So we're only getting $800 and some summer. Has there ever been any thought just to make that free to get participation up? That
so that would have to be.
Would get the numbers back up overall?
So obviously that would have to be a budget item. So if that was something that we wanted to do, we would have to budget for it because obviously there would be that loss of revenue. And just as a note, and we will talk about this later, we did apply through, so the government, province of Nova Scotia changed their grant program. So it used to be Thrive, it's now Active Communities. And they implemented it in the spring, so it was brand new under the new program, and we had applied under it, and we applied for the swims for the summer. We actually didn't receive notification that we had got the grant until September, so which was point, yeah. And so we were the first ones to apply under that program.
Yeah.
So I mean, there could have been various reasons why the answer coming back was so long.
But do you feel that you'd be able to apply next year and have it come in?
So Active Communities, there's a specific amount that each region can apply for. I believe it's 20,000 maximum.
Correct.
And that's through whatever you're looking at doing throughout the year. And we'll talk a little bit more when we get through this on kind of where we're going with that. But yes, so that would be something that next year we would for sure put in for. And then, of course, at budget time, if council wanted to request that if we didn't receive that funding that it be free, of course, that would be a budget item.
Councilor McLeod?
Is that funding, was that available before in other years, or is that a new amount? Have you had that much money to plan with in the previous years, or is that something
no.
new to 20,000?
So Thrive, you mean the grant program
yeah.
itself?
Yeah.
So the grant program itself, Thrive was different how it was set up completely,
yeah.
so it wasn't... It went by project, so it wasn't, if you're a region, you get a certain allotment of money. It was, you're doing a project, and you get a certain percentage.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the 20,000 that you could get next year can be used for any number of projects.
So there are guidelines around what you can apply for, and when we get to that, normal, we'll talk a little bit about where we do have an application in under that, but he'll talk a little bit more about that specifically. North Queens. So the same slide in relation to North Queens, you'll see the good news in North Queens. Swimming lesson attendance is on the rise. We've had really great staff out there, and they've connected with the children, and we've had more people come. It's been consistent. Swim attendance, although it was covered under Thrive last year, you'll note that it's not significantly different this year. They really use their pool well. There's great attendance out there. This year we did take off evening swims. As you will note, the year before, for the whole summer, we had it 3 days a week and only three people came the entire summer. So we did take that off. Lane swim, there's not really the opportunity during the day to put lane swim in with their current schedule and the staffing. And Aquafit, we don't have any currently certified staff. So every time we see that course come up, we do put it out to all of our aquatics staff who have worked for us in the past, just as this is happening, would you consider doing this? Of course, we can't make them do it because it's not a requirement. Aquatics for Milton and North Queens, this is just kind of an overview of the upgrades we've done at the pool, both pools in recent years. Milton Centennial Pool is obviously 52 years old and the North Queens Aquatic Center is 22. So we have done significant repairs and will continue to do so.
Sorry.
La La Land.
If you go back to one slide, that Aquafit.
Sure.
If we could find someone in the community qualified to do that, is that something we could offer in the future? Or does it have to be a staff person?
It's not that it has to be a staff person, it's that you have to have a lifeguard on duty. So you'd still have to have staff there to do it. Not to do it, but to oversee it.
Okay, so but you would say that we didn't have anybody qualified to teach it.
Staff.
No, staff qualified to teach it. But if we could find somebody qualified to teach it, our own impact would be have a staff present during classes, right?
Right. So if that were to happen, so this year we keep staff obviously within a certain amount. So if we added on, we would just have to be able to budget for that, for the additional hours that they would be there to oversee that program.
Okay, but it's doable if mm-hmm. we can find a volunteer instructor.
And I don't know that they doesn't necessarily be volunteer. So for the example, like in Milton when we did it, we did pay Celeste and people registered for the program, or they could do drop-ins to attend it. So yes, if it was a volunteer who was volunteering their time, that's one thing, but I don't think we could necessarily say it had to be a volunteer.
No, but if we could do that, then that would mm-hmm. offset the cost.
Right,
that.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Councilor McFly?
Mm-hmm. Can one of the staff be trained to do Aquafit, or is that too late for the program to learn?
So they can, and as I mentioned, anytime, so we get all the updates on courses going on regionally, and we do send those out whenever they come. Of course, we can't make them go and do it because it's not a requirement, so that we require that they have their national lifeguard and their water safety instructor to instruct lessons. So that would be an additional above and beyond that. If they did have it, it's great, but it's not a requirement to work at the pool.
And is that our requirement or under their job description?
In terms of having the lifeguard and the water safety
yeah.
instructor, those are the standards of the bodies that govern
okay.
aquatics. Just an overview of our staffing. So ideal scenarios, we have a supervisor at each location who oversees staff on a day-to-day basis. And then in Milton, we have three instructors. And in North Queens, we have two instructors. So that's obviously ideal scenario. Sometimes we have the ideal scenario. Sometimes we have to make do safely and within guidelines with the staff who apply. And then in terms of overseeing the staff, I oversee the staff. They all ultimately report to me, but they also deal with Dana and the grounds crew who does all the maintenance and repairs within their scope at the pool. This year we added an aquatics coordinator, and their duty was to oversee the pools so that they were the middle person between the pools and myself. So for the most part, they were responsible for overseeing staff, for making sure chemicals were correct, making sure cleaning schedules were followed, daily check-ins, and they also went up and oversaw and kind of did daily reports on, they'd oversee the swimming lessons or public swims to make sure staff were doing what they were supposed to be doing. as well as providing suggestions to them if there was something that they saw that they weren't doing that they felt they should be. So this kind, well, it didn't kind of, it took off the strain of Dana and I's phone ringing constantly. Ultimately, obviously, it's not like I didn't have any overseeing with the pool. They still report to me, and I still dealt with them every day. But it just kind of limited, and it gave this person the opportunity to fix those issues before they came to me.
Councilor Fancy?
I know the other year you had to fill in a lot with AIDS. Would this coordinator be the same type of thing if somebody did show up or anything like that? The coordinator would then go in and fill in so it doesn't go back on you?
Correct. So we wanted, ideally, of course, this person to be trained in National Lifeguard and Water Safety Instructor for those exact reasons, that if staff were sick or if they needed a day off for some reason, that they could then go to that location and fill in, and so that there was no downtime for that pool, and that's exactly what happened this summer. So infrastructure, we have our beach volleyball court that we constructed in North Queens this year. Our preliminary estimate that we had brought to council was approximately $7,300. The actual cost of constructing that was right around $6,000. There was significant use of it this year. We had two great local volunteers who kind of put that together. They oversee it. They checked in. They had weekly leagues as well as tournaments that they hosted, and they plan to do that again this upcoming year. So it's been a success for sure. And this past year, upgrades to Cobbs, we forgot the S,
yep.
Or Dinosaur Park, as my kids call it. So we had put at budget time the replacement of what's currently there. It was right around $25,000. At that time, the Department of Engineering had come forward and said they could do the repairs on that, which they did, and it's back up in operation. And I think it's an important park, especially. It provides shade, and a lot of people go to it all the time. So I think it was, but yeah. I'm going to pass it off to Norm.
That's me. I'm going to have to look at that because I can't read this. The anniversary trail, as you probably know, completed in 2016. Design work completed by the Engineering Public Works Department, works done by the grounds crew. I can't say enough about how successful that little bit of infrastructure has been. It's no over-exaggeration to meet half a dozen people, which I did yesterday coming through there on both the trestle and the extension. I even saw Megan's mom and dad on bicycles coming through there one day. So just a terrific thing, and interconnected, and now that the trestle is open again, it's brilliant, absolutely. The rail trail, or some people call it the trestle trail extension, comes up from the bridge, empties out somewhere over there around, that's George Street?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a walkabout grant. Previous MPEL did it. We've had a lot of trouble with keeping signage there. So I think right now the posts are gonna stay, but, and of course the signage, you know, is important to for crossings, right? So that's been sort of a bit of good news, bad news story. So moving on to the Sure You Can initiative. Councillor.
I've had different people come along, especially after the Trestle Trail Bridge was open. I went across the Trestle Trail Bridge, and they weren't used to it, and they didn't know where to go. Because if we don't have the signage up to any kind of a map,
yep.
Some kind of a map, are we going to have a map at this side of the
we'll
Trestle
get to
Trail
that.
Bridge?
We'll get to that.
And up to there?
Yep.
So that's,
yep.
You're going to be talking about that, right?
We'll get to that. Yep.
Okay.
So these, if you like the colors, this color scheme, I picked them out. If you don't, well... So,
I know, right? It's me.
Somebody else picked them up. So the Sure You Can initiative is just designed to catch people in the act of physical activity and give them stuff for doing that, okay? And you saw the two young ladies from the middle school. I mean, that posted a simple thing. I was just down there. I saw them. I said, hey, Abby, can I take a picture, blah, blah, blah. And they got like 3,000 likes and 64 shares. So That's as simple as it is. Catch people in the act and celebrate that, the act of doing something active. And we're hoping, we'd like to have, I've got a supply of stuff. If anyone wants to be a spotter, take your camera with you, take the picture, send it to me, we'll put it on Facebook, okay? We'd love to have more spotters so the program gets more geographically dispersed, for lack of a better word. So, Playbox initiative, I'm not gonna, oh, sorry.
Just a question to Norm, you know, I'm always asking questions about
yep.
the overall picture.
Yep.
And what are we doing with that? Are we promoting that, or are we just relying on the post to promote it? Because
promoting
it's,
the...
It's a great, sure you can.
Yeah.
But very few people know what it's about.
Right.
So, is there a plan in place to have some Facebook posts about that?
Yeah,
explaining the background and,
yep.
and what the purpose of it is?
We have been doing that. If you're telling me that people don't know about it, then clearly I need to do some more. But is it part of an overall encouragement for people to do self-directed activity? Absolutely, absolutely. But I've done a little bit. We launched the program, but sounds like we need to do a little bit more to familiarize people with it. So
I'm just wondering if anyone here knew.
I didn't
know. I knew it through our activity.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Just a little bit more involvement. That,
yep.
That's all I'm saying, because it is a great program and
understood
to be involved. So, yeah.
And the other sort of standalone thing I'd like to highlight is, of course, the Playbox. And there's been lots of. I think this too was a brilliant idea to steal. That we stole it from Kent Full, who stole it from
with permission
from out west. The folks up in North Queens, the Board of Trade, took really good care of our Playbox out there. It was positioned at the, or placed at the skateboard park, the one here also by our skateboard park. And I think, I won't get into all, because you guys, folks saw what, you know, things that happened, good and bad, but I think the key thing to, is in the evaluation, issues were consistent with what other communities noted. So there was some loss and some damage in all the other communities. So,
so despite all that happened, the negative stuff,
yep.
you're still proceeding with
absolutely.
That,
100%. Absolutely.
100%. 100%.
The good.
Yeah, and I think the good thing is like.
Far outweighed the bad.
And it has.
Absolutely.
And the community's taken ownership of that.
Absolutely.
And they've started policing it themselves. And so if they see people not putting things back in the boxes, you know, they're saying those go
yeah.
back in.
Yeah.
If things are damaged, you know, we're not always the first ones to notice it anymore. They're calling us and saying, just so you know, there's a skateboard that needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
So the things we've seen are all things that every community that has done it, when we called them before we ever put it in the budget last year, they said, you know, you're going to have
yep.
people, this is going to happen. Just know that it's going to happen and know that it's for the greater good and that the benefits of that are going to far outweigh the things that are going to get, you know, ruined or...
Which is brilliant, because in the past, we would have had that event happen that was so bad,
yep.
and we would have stopped it. So
off you
kudos
go.
To you guys for just
yep.
seeing the overall picture. And,
yep,
and
absolutely.
Councilor McLeod?
I understand that it had been destroyed a few times, or wrecked, whatever, a few times. And here it's listed as under the grounds crew to consult on appropriate boxes, build the box, install decals, that sort of thing. That's a plan to do, or has that been done?
That
so
was
they do that.
Yeah.
So we consulted with them of the type of box that we were going to put, because it had to be whether they're the ones that we buy the boxes, Norm calls them, they take it down to the shop, they put it all together, and then they install it at the locations. And when they're doing their site checks for the skate park, for example, because they go there every day, they're just opening it up if anything's damaged or, you know, they see anything that they need to note for us. They let us know. In terms of damage to the box, it was the one incident that damaged the box. It was then the hurricane that
Dorian.
Blew the box apart again.
Dorian finished
it
off. Dorian
boxes?
Finished it off.
Pardon me?
Are they resin boxes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just thinking possibly if I contact the Adult Service Center under Penny Lane, and I know they make wonderful boxes because they do the garbage boxes and that sort of thing. They may build one and maybe put their decal or something on it as a community involvement.
These ones are weather resistant for for the most part. They do keep things dry. I'm not sure if wood would keep it dry as much. And we did think of that when we were doing it.
We looked at metal boxes. We're like 2.5 times the cost of these.
Yeah.
The lids on these have got a gentle close. Yeah.
Correct.
And I mean, aside from that act of idiocy, which you maybe should anticipate, but who knew that would, you know, these honestly have worked out really quite well.
Councilor Johnson?
I think a huge piece for the one in North Queens, in talking to Georgie and the employee that worked there all summer, was the tourist stop with kids that wanted to use the skate park and wanted to do stuff and hit the ball around and didn't have any gear in the car to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff was there, and they just applauded this program. So,
and those were the intentions of what we hoped would happen.
Well, it was a part of that. We're looking at this whole gateway project as to getting people, why should they stop in North Queens before they go to Kedgy? That play box is a huge piece of why they should stop and what makes them want to come back. A lot of good comments from those guys. So.
We had educated our pool staff too in the summer on the program and where the location in North Queens was. So I know they too had a lot of tourists that come in and swim in the pool during the summer or camping or whatever, and they had sent a lot of people up there too. So.
And if you're going to expand it next year, maybe have one part-time at the pool, just have the volleyball stuff and things like that.
And we are looking, obviously, at places to expand it to, such as Beach Meadows with beach-related things, kind of municipal properties first, and then we'll move on to outside. Yep.
Carter Beach.
What?
Carter Beach.
We also, we'll go over some grants that we quickly, that we applied for and received. We did an AMA wellness grant. There's four people in the picture, and I applied for the wellness grant, but you see Kaylee in particular there. She does fantastic work in the region, just of her own interest. And you used to go in the lunchroom and see all those lists of people who appeared to talk to us about being more healthy. Kaylee does all that, and we actually won an award, Mayor Daigle, and a lot of that is absolutely her work. So we also applied for last year, this used to be called After the Bell program, they're now rolled into this Active Communities Fund, but the really successful programs, Trailblazers in North Queens, Girls Only Group in South Queens Middle School, and we've got confirmation 100% funding to run both those programs again this year. There's a new group starting up, new leadership group. So we've got to meet with those folks to get that going in North Queens.
Do you want to explain what the program was a little bit?
Pardon me?
Find a volunteer to instruct it.
Her name is Lydia Sikarkos. I can't see her.
The question is, yes, you found somebody.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, they did.
Because if not, when you can't find somebody, just give me a rattle.
And just explain what those programs are.
Try to get it going.
What the program, what's in the Trailblazers, it's an outdoor experiential program, middle school, male and female. Run out of South Brookfield, and leadership skills and outdoor skills are rolled into that. The middle school female one is based out of Liverpool, obviously. Females only, middle school. It's a combination of activity sampling, leadership development, and kind of skill development and different things. So.
My granddaughter took part in that program as well.
It's a really good program, counselor. We have a really good leader. She was here this morning,
mm-hmm.
Taryn. So, we also got a small participation grant to help with the cost of our bike exchange, and counseling. And that was part of National Health and Fitness Day, and we mainly used that to actually pay the bikes to get fixed up. And it's hard to quantify. You know, recreation is it's hard to quantify. But let me tell you one quick story.
Mm-hmm.
So bike exchange, we did it also up in North Queens the Saturday after. So bike exchange is going to start at 9:00. I left my house around 8:10. I said, oh, it wouldn't be people there already, would there? Because I had to go get coffee, right? And so I swang past the curling club. There's a car there, three young people outside. So I did get my coffee, I have to admit. Then I went past, I started to talk to them. And this one young fellow named Aubrey hadn't had a bike in 2 years. They were there at 6:00 when mother got off shift because he wanted to get a bike. And he got a bike. He was the first guy in the line. His siblings also got bikes, and that's, you know, you never quantify other than to say sometimes it's just a good thing, you know, and it gives you a good feeling like that. So those kids, they could have won the lottery, and I've seen them many times since on their bike, so that was kind of cool. So, and we